On the 22nd day of October, Halloween gave to me 22 detectives thrilling, 21 wiener stretching, 20 zombies climbing, 19 Richards cheesing, 18 undead trains, 17 morticians regaling, 16 Vincents cracking, 15 Lees counting, 14 brides abiding, 13 Carfax abbeys, 12 fathers stripping, 11 au pairs drowning, 10 children creeping, 9 Roddy seizing, 8 snowy mazes, 7 vacants digging, 6 doorways bending, 5 children yowling, 4 zombie bulls, 3 haunted mirrors, 2 monster houses, and a fog that makes it hard to see. Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. No, Thursday. Jesus Christ. Happy Thursday, October 22nd. Oh, me losing the days like an old man. It is Thursday, October 22nd, the 22nd day of our 31 days of Halloween, and we are finishing up a little detour into Zombieland, not with the movie Zombieland, but with one of my personal favorites, and I think kind of, I don't know, it's hard to tell outside the bubble you live in, you know, but I feel like this is a movie that has become beloved, even though at one time, it was seen as somewhat obscure. And that, of course, is Night of the Creeps. It is written and directed by Fred Decker, who had previously done The Monster Squad, would go on to direct RoboCop 3, and then not much else. Did a Tales from the Crypt episode, and I think I saw that he's got a short that is wrapping up production this year, but I mean, who knows what that means in the world in which we live now. But it always surprised me that Fred Decker didn't direct more movies. Like, RoboCop 3 was a stinker. But I don't know that that was Fred Decker's fault. You know, he made a comic book movie. But you know, where there were no comic book movies before. Like, RoboCop was the original Verhoeven film. Is much more, you know, social satire, and it's aggressively violent. And what Fred Decker did with RoboCop 3 was a little more, you know, family-friendly and that kind of thing. Like, it was the director of the Monster Squad doing a RoboCop movie. And anyway, we will not litigate RoboCop 3 here today, ladies and gentlemen. Instead, we will talk about Night of the Creeps, which, as I said, is sort of a favorite of mine. And kind of, when I was thinking of what I wanted to wrap up this run of zombie movies with, it was pretty... it was a pretty easy decision to say, like, how about we watch Night of the Creeps again? I see this movie a lot, but here's why I would recommend including it on your list if you haven't seen it in a while or if you've never seen it. If nothing else, Night of the Creeps is an amazing curiosity in that it was one of the first movies to be really self-referential in a way that was kind of front and center, you know? All the characters are named after horror directors, a thing I stole for Lost After Dark because I love Night of the Creeps so much. I was like, well, if Fred Decker can do it, I can do it. so I stole that trick, and that's where I got it. If you ever want to know some hot take Randstall trivia, the fact that all the characters in Lost After Dark are named after horror directors and Final Girls is because of Fred Decker and Night of the Creeps. So I have this emotional attachment to it. When I was a kid, I watched it a lot because it was sort of every horror movie all at once. And that's what I mean about it being self-referential, because at the beginning, it kind of apes at the very beginning, it's just a crazy alien movie. But when we get to Earth, and that's one thing I always forget about Night of the Creeps, like, oh yeah, it doesn't start on Earth. It starts on a spaceship. But once you get to Earth, it kind of apes The Blob and that 50s teenagers versus monster kind of movie. But then it becomes more of a zombie film and then becomes an alien movie again. And I like that it's all over the place. I like that it has these moves. And, you know, and the self-referential part is that Fred Decker understands that he is moving through those genres and playing with those genres. Like, there's a 5-minute piece of the film that just becomes a slasher movie. You know, when Tom Atkins is going after the now zombified serial killer that killed his would-be girlfriend. So that stuff is all pretty amazing. And I like it a lot. I think it's playful. I think it's fun. I think it works. I also think that the characters are with some exceptions are outstanding. I think the biggest exception is I don't think the female lead is terribly strong. You know, she just kind of bounces from guy to guy in the movie, and that's a little bit disappointing, but it's also the 80s, and that's, you know, that's kind of what you did with the girl. But it is a little unfortunate. That said, the relationship between the two leads, Chris and JC, JC for either Jesus Christ or John Carpenter, you be the pick. but I think I know where I lead. Their relationship is great. They're, you know, again, being a kid in the 80s, it was a relationship I was familiar with on screen. You know, it is the two lovable losers who in the beginning are a bit at odds with one another, but you know, they, when they rub up against the frat boys and things like that, it's clear we're on their side because they're picked on, they're the underdogs, and they're funny, you know, they're smarter and more clever than the dumb frat guys. You know, there's a hint of that Revenge of the Nerds kind of style, snobs versus slobs sort of thing. And, the fact that JC is handicapped in the film is never made to, I mean, it's central to his character in the sense that they talk about it, but I also like the way that they talk about it, you know, that it's not, he makes fun of himself a little bit. JC is a little disarming about it. And, you know, it at a certain point in the film, it just doesn't become an issue anymore. And it was interesting to see, even as a kid, that representation in film of someone who's handicapped, but not compromised in terms of how they're going about their life. Even though he makes a point, he's like, look, I'm probably never going to get the girl. You know, that's not the life I got. And what makes his character so heartbreaking is that not only is he the guy that's like, hey, I'm not going to get the girl. He's like, I'm going to help you get the girl because you're my friend. And that's sort of the selfless sort of love he has for his buddy. And so, at you know, spoilers for this 34-year-old movie now? Jesus. You know, so when JC finally meets his demise, there's this really, like, tear-jerking moment where he talks about, like, oh, I could walk. You know, even though I was possessed by these alien slugs, like, the crazy thing was I could get up and walk. And by the way, JC has the good sense to destroy himself in a way that will make sure that he does not infect anyone else. He has a great hero's death in that film, even though it happens off screen. Which brings us to talk about Tom Atkins. And I like Tom Atkins in a lot of movies. We started with The Fog, if you'll recall, 22 days ago. And Tom Atkins is great in that. He's got a much smaller part, of course, but he's this very natural kind of actor. And I'm thinking of him in The Fog now saying things like, you know, it's always different. And, you know, how much for this one? You know, when he's going through the pad of art. And he's good in that. But, like, Night of the Creeps is the Tom Atkins movie. It is the reason that Jamie Sammons now will say things like, Jamie Sammons now, Jesus Christ, she's been married forever. And I just knew her when, people. I was there on the ground floor. When we talk about him as Tom freaking Atkins, this is why. He is amazing in this movie. He is, not only does he deliver a good performance, which is true, it's just such a well-written character for him. There is a moment in the movie that is, in many ways, a defining moment for both my sense of humor and kind of what I like in movies. And it's when Tom Atkins is drinking hard after believing that perhaps this serial killer that he killed lo these many years ago has returned. So he's telling Chris, the Jason Lively character, all about this. And about how he killed someone back when he was a rookie cop. And as he's telling the story, at one point Jason Lively He kind of poses this rhetorical question, like, you want to know what happened next, Spanky? Because he calls him Spanky. And Jason Lively is like, are you sure you should be telling me this? And Tom Atkins' response is, wrong. I buried him. And it's that moment where you realize, A, he was never listening to Jason Lively, no matter what he was saying. Like, he's just bouncing this off of him. And the other thing is that he is perilously close to a breakdown. We see him on at least two occasions preparing for suicide. Like, this is a detective well at the end of his rope. And so at the end of the movie, when we see his moment of sacrifice, it's really rewarding and kind of wonderful. And, you know, Jason Rhodes here on the Legion Podcast Network, Movie Misfits, now available. You know, he'll talk about how great Thrill Me is, you know. In fact, as part of their Halloween special, I remember it was ironic because I was listening to that and I heard Thrill Me. I was like, I'm about to watch Night of the Creeps. You know, there are all these little catchphrases and great moments, and it's just funny. It's a funny movie, but it's one of those things, like, I was watching Shaun of the Dead recently, and I remember, like, describing it to someone. I'm like, it's funny, but it's still a zombie movie. You know, it's just a funny zombie movie. And that's how Night of the Creeps is. Like, it's still a zombie movie, and it's still a monster movie, and it's still, like, it is a horror movie first and foremost, but it's a funny horror movie filled with really good performances and a really knowing kind of winking ride through the genre. And I'll finish my love affair with Night of the Creeps by saying I watched my Blu-ray of it, which has the original ending. I think it's got the television ending as well, but the original ending, of course, was the one most people are familiar with is the dog looking up and opening its mouth and a slug comes out and it's like, oh, it's, you know, the scary dog is possessed. In the director's cut, the original cut of the film, Tom Atkins smoking, the corpse smoking comes out of the ruins of the explosion and makes his way to a graveyard. Where he collapses and assumedly spreads slugs into this graveyard. And meanwhile, a UFO passes overhead trying to find signs of these slugs. And one, I always imagine, like, well, the sequel to that then is maybe aliens and people working together to stop these things? Like, there's a movie that I think I don't necessarily want to see, but I like the idea of it. So anyway, Night of the Creeps is a wonderful movie. As we lean into the back end of our 31 Days of Halloween, it's super fun to visit one of my favorites and wrap up our zombie stuff with maybe my personal favorite. I mean, is it a zombie movie? I think so. There are zombies in it. You know, they're alien inspired, but hey, so was Night of the Living Dead in theory. That was all the satellite that exploded and whatnot. Anyway, enjoy Night of the Creeps if you haven't in a while. I adore it. And that's going to do it for our 22nd film on our list. Come back tomorrow, which is Friday, can you believe it? Come back tomorrow and we are going to break down the 23rd film on our list of 31 Days of Halloween. As always, you can drop me a line and let me know what you're watching, what you're thinking, how life is going over at BoBO@LegionPodcasts.com. Until then, folks, have yourselves a very spooky Thursday here, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.